may take your seats. Well, we are doing something, or firstly, most importantly, happy Mother's Day to all the beautiful mums out there. We would love to
happy Mother's Day, everyone.
We just wanted to wish you Mother's Day, happy Mother's Day. We are doing something just a little bit different this morning in the house, which is really exciting. We've never before done this. But this morning, Pastor Jenny and I are going to share the Word of God together, which is really exciting. It is not a panel. We're bringing a message about something really clear this morning. And so what we've chosen this morning to share on is joy. And more specifically, choosing joy. I hope you like our beautiful living room that we're preaching from today. After the service today, you can actually come and get your photo taken in our living room. This is what my living room would look like if my husband would let me. But I don't know that he would like an entirely yellow living room. So we're going to jump straight into this morning and speak to you this morning about choosing joy. Now, choosing joy sounds really wonderful, but to be honest, it's a challenge for most of us. If you're not naturally an upbeat person and you're more of a melancholy personality, it can seem really difficult to choose joy. And I think that one of the greatest challenges in choosing joy is often our lack of understanding of what joy really is. And it's a misconception about this particular word, joy. Many of us would think that joy means to be happy and to feel good all the time. But that's impossible, as we all know. Even if you're naturally an upbeat or optimistic person, this is totally unachievable. We have to start somewhere more realistic. And so we're going to do that this morning. And most importantly, we're going to see what the Word of God says about it.
Rick Warren says this about joy. Joy is a settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of our life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right. And the determined choice to praise God in every situation.
Yeah, well.
I love how he describes joy. There's nothing in this definition about happiness or being happy. Because as we know, happiness is fleeting, subjective and temporary.
Yeah, we can tend to think that life comes in seasons of mountains and valleys, but in actual fact, it's a little more like train tracks. Stay with me. Every day of our lives, wonderful, beautiful, good things happen to bring us pleasure and joy and contentment. But at the same time, painful things happen to us, and or those that we love can disappoint us, and so we can be hurt, and it can fill us with sorrow. These two tracks, both joy and sorrow, run parallel to each other for most of the moments of our lives. It's why, when you're in the midst of the most amazing experience, you have that nagging feeling that everything's not perfect. And while you're experiencing extreme pain, there's the glorious realization that beauty, wonder, and the miraculous is to be found. Joy and sorrow, they're inseparable. However, if you look down a set of train tracks into the horizon, something marvelous appears. The tracks become one. You can't distinguish them as two separate tracks any longer. That's how it will be for us one day too. One day, our parallel tracks of joy and sorrow will merge into one, and it will be the day we meet Jesus and see the wonder of who he is. It'll all come together for us, and it'll make perfect sense. But today, and for all the days that we're blessed with on this earth, we have a choice to make. And so together this morning, Pastor Jenny and I are going to unpack how and why to choose joy.
I absolutely love this picture of train tracks, confirming that joy is meant to be a constant track in our life, just like our life soundtrack. Joy is a determined choice to praise God. It is choosing to see with God's eyes from his perspective. So the week leading up to this preach, I couldn't get this song out of my head that some of you may know from decades ago, and Mel has offered to sing it for us, because I won't be.
Come on, you know it. If you know it, you can sing along. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Anyone know
the
it?
Joy of the Lord is my strength.
Yeah.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Yeah.
There's a really important second verse. It goes like this. Ready? Ha 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 ha. Come on, give us your loudest ones. Ha 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 ha.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
And that was my joy. Good job. Hey, this is more than I first know more.
I don't feel like everyone has heard that before. We used to sing it all the time, and Rick was actually the loudest. I can't believe you didn't sing it today.
There were many. When Pastor Jenny asked us to do this and prep this the other day, she had this song in mind and I totally had a different one. So when we were practicing and she referred over to me, I sung the other one. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
You don't remember that one?
Yeah, that's great.
Which brings us to point number one this morning. Choose joy. The joy of the Lord available to us covers all circumstances, all relationships, and all seasons. It is an internal joy fed into our hearts by the wellspring of joy that God has towards us. God longs to make us a people marked with his joy. Yeah. He longs to make us a joyful people in every circumstance and season.
Choosing joy may not be something I want or feel to do, but it's what I choose and what I want to be. You don't have to be a certain personality type. As Pastor Mel said, to have strength in joy, I want to be filled with joy, so I'm choosing joy as a daily discipline in my life. James 1:3-4 says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into various trials. I can't see it very well. Well, you know that you read it.
Yes, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. It is very bright up here, and all our scripture is in yellow, because it's a really good color. That should bring you great joy this morning. While God may not cause the various trials we face, he most certainly uses them to cause our joy to find its source in him alone. God knows that if we place our joy in fleeting and fickle things, our lives will be an emotional roller coaster rather than a reflection of how consistently good he is. Our Heavenly Father has a compassionate heart towards the problems we face. He never desired for us to act or try to drum up faith that everything will be all right, but because he longs to meet us at the very core of the trial and fill us with his abundant joy that's found in his presence and his love alone. He longs to guide us through the tough seasons of life that try to rob us of our joy, and he longs to make our faith strong so that we can meet our tribulations head on with joy. If we run to the Father with every weight and every problem and we ask him to guide us, then we will receive his joy that he longs to give us as we encounter his deep and powerful love.
Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6 says, those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy.
Oh, gosh. It's crazy. It's really glaring up here.
No, I can't see.
No. Those who sow in tears will reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him.
Okay, and I love this verse that says in Psalm 97, verse 11, light seeds are planted in the souls of God's people. Joy seeds are planted in good heart soil.
Yeah. So what trial or tribulation, church, are we facing that God longs to strengthen our faith with joy this morning? Where does God want to meet you? So that you might live with the joy of his love rather than the weight of this world.
Another amazing definition of joy by Joyce Meyer is the passion or emotion excited by the acquisition or the expectation of good. This speaks of hope and expectation that something good is going to happen. Yeah. It is changing our mindset and realigning it with God's word. Yeah. Which brings us to point two, why choose joy? The strength that comes from the joy of a restored relationship with our Heavenly Father is unlike any other strength we can find in ourselves. The joy of the Lord is unceasing, unwavering, and powerful. It comes from a place of internal peace with God rather than any external source or circumstance.
Yeah. And it was wholly made available to us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which is just awesome. We are a people to be marked by the joy of the Lord. And this happens when we allow God to fill our lives with his powerful presence. Yeah,
Nehemiah 8 gives us a great look at God's desire to establish joy right at the beginning of following him. In Nehemiah, the nation of Israel had just rebuilt the walls around Jerusalem and were learning again what it was like to live in obedience to the word of God. As Ezra opens the word, the people fall on their faces mourning and in shame for their disobedience. And in response to their tears, Nehemiah says this. He proclaims to the people, "Eat the fat and drink sweet wine and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." God desires for joy to be at the foundation of our relationship with him. He is to be our strength. He is to be, the joy of him is to be our strength. The true picture of strength is total joy that comes on a dependence on our Heavenly Father. It's such a weird thought, but strength is a reward for a life filled with joy. It doesn't begin the other way around. It's joy first and strength follows.
Psalm 16:8-11 says, "I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore."
Yeah. In setting God always before us, we will be strengthened by the joy that comes from relationship with him. And it's only in continually seeking his presence that we will discover the fullness of joy. God wants to be our strength, church. He longs to guide us and be continually doing a mighty work in our hearts to increase our capacity for his joy. In Proverbs 17:22, it says, "A joyful heart is a good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." When we surrender every area of our lives to the capable hands of God and enter into the joy that comes from a relationship with our Savior, we can rest in his peaceful presence and allow him to fill us with joy overflowing. Paul's prayer to the Colossians is a great guide to seek to live in the fullness of joy that Jesus died to give us.
Colossians 1:11 says, "May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy."
Yeah, which brings us to point number three today, and that is deep joy. There is different levels of joy here this morning. So number three is deep joy. By the grace of God, we have been given the beautiful inheritance of an eternal relationship with our Heavenly Father. In Psalm 16:5-6, it says, "The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen in pleasant places for me. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance." And later in verse 11, David writes, "You make known to me the path of life, and in your presence there is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." God has designated the beautiful inheritance of his presence just for us. This is where and how we access his joy.
His inexpressible joy. I love this verse, 1 Peter 1:8-9, because it's been my life verse for the last 30 years. "Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe with joy, rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." So being filled with inexpressible joy is a natural response to seeing how truly God is in comparison to how truly broken we are. Joy is meant to be the overflow of true, tangible relationship with a God who would lay down his own life solely because he desperately longs for a restored relationship with us. God is found when you are in his company, in his presence.
Yeah.
If you want joy in your life, you need to get into the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
He is the only one who can fill you with joy.
Yeah.
So she's not here at the moment, I don't think, but if my daughter asked me to pray for her for more joy, I'd have to say no. Instead, I would pray for her to have more of God's presence in her life, because that's what she needs, what she'd need.
And Israel knew how to center their gatherings around the presence of God. They're a great example for us. His presence guided them through the wilderness, and his presence won battles.
Yes.
Israel knew how to do it. God's presence was a sign that he was with them and for them. And in Psalm 16:11 tells us that the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. What would this feel like? What does the fullness of joy look and feel like? I imagine that the fullness of joy, in the fullness of joy, there is no sorrow. There's no worry, no doubt, no fear. And I imagine in the fullness of joy that there is abundant life and peace, freedom, and an overwhelming sense of love. In Psalm 43:4, it says, "Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my exceeding joy." Continually encountering the presence of our Heavenly Father is the sole source of our exceeding joy while on this earth. Only in spending time going into His presence will we experience a joy that is our portion. And only in His presence will the joy of the Lord truly become our strength.
Joy isn't something that we're created to live without. Heavenly joy is a cornerstone in which we live our lives that reflect the goodness, grace, love, and reality of our Heavenly Father. Joy is meant to be the mouthpiece by which we declare how wonderful a relationship with God truly is to our world. We need to be choosing to spend time encountering the fullness of joy that can only be found in the presence of God.
Joy is such an evident attribute of God's that Jesus, His Son, spoke these words while He was on earth here with us. In John 17:13, He said, "But now I'm coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." And in John 15:11, it says, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Which brings us to number 4, deeper joy, a whole nother level. Relationship with the Holy Spirit empowers us to live a lifestyle of consistent joy. It is only by the filling of the Spirit that we have access to the deepest reservoirs of joy found in the heart of our Heavenly Father.
Galatians 5:22 unpacks that one of the fruits of the Spirit as believers is to be joy. It is the evidence that He resides in us. So as temples of the Holy Spirit, we need to seek out what it looks like to allow this fruit, joy, to be evident in our hearts and lives. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It is not imparted. Fruit grows and fruit must be nurtured. Just like my pumpkin vine, I'm finally, after 7 years, I'm growing my first pumpkin vine, and I've got my first pumpkin. And I go out every morning and check it. And it's growing really quickly, and I'm so proud of it. I think I'm the only one in the family that's proud of it. But anyway, but we need to nurture fruit like that, yes. And joy like that. Yes. And that's where the joy will come. Well, Romans 14:17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." And Acts 13:52 says, "And the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit."
Yeah, we are not designed to have joy in and of ourselves. Rather, joy comes from a dwelling of the Holy Spirit within us. As the disciples began to be filled with the Holy Spirit, their lives changed dramatically. They went from fearful, faint-hearted followers of Jesus to joy-filled, sacrificial, and empowered world changers. They had a joy in the midst of their intense persecution because they had the Holy Spirit filling them with the fruits of His indwelling. We have the same Holy Spirit today that the disciples had. And He longs to do the same kind of works in us that He did in them thousands of years ago. He longs to fill us with joy in the midst of any trial or painful circumstances. And He longs to make us a people so joyful that there is no other explanation other than God is in us. So, how do we allow the Spirit to bear the fruit of joy in our lives?
It all starts with a posture of humility and prayer. The Holy Spirit never forces us into deeper relationship with Him. He is peaceful, powerful, loving, and patient. We must make time to respond to His small tugs on our heart in order to walk in greater relationship with Him. We must humble ourselves and ask for more of Him, whatever that looks like, and allow the truth of God's love and faithfulness to cast out any fear or reservation about a lifestyle of total connection with the Holy Spirit. Ask Him to fill us to overflowing and guide us into a lifestyle of bearing the fruit of an intimate relationship with Him, deeper joy.
Yeah, the Spirit knows how to guide our hearts, and He knows the perfect ways to guide us into deeper, fruitful lives. So church, this morning, spend time allowing the Spirit to lead you into a life filled with more joy. Choose joy. Allow him to speak to you and lead you in whatever ways he desires. And rest in his loving presence as you learn what it is to reach greater depths of joy with and in him.
Absolute best way we can live is in total and complete surrender to the Holy Spirit. When we allow him to take the reins of our lives, and sometimes that can be hard, and he guides us into far greener and more abundant pastures than we could ever, ever find ourselves.
He has the ability and desire to lead us into the fullness of God's plans for our lives. We must be willing to follow him wherever he wants to lead us. And if we would follow his direction and look for his guidance, then we will walk in a life filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Which brings us to our final point as the band comes this morning. We are to be carriers of joy. As disciples of Jesus, we are to carry the joy of our salvation everywhere we go. You and I have the power to change atmospheres on earth with the joy of the Holy Spirit. We have the power to brighten people's days, to break off heaviness, and to lead people into a deeper revelation of the goodness of our Lord when we reflect his joy to others. God is a joyful God, church. He is the inventor of happiness and fun.
In order to truly declare to the world who our Heavenly Father is, we must be carriers of joy. We must be a people marked by the joy that only comes from a restored relationship with an all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-loving God.
Yeah. It has taken me a really long time to learn this, and even a long time to realize that the truth is that circumstances, people, trials, work, and worldly stresses do not have the ability to steal my joy. It happens when I open my heart to the outside elements and I allow stresses to come in like robbers and take what is rightfully mine in the Lord. When I allow a fellow driver or a deadline, a negative comment or a problem to take center stage over my joy that I have in Jesus, I step outside of my allotted portion of joy. To be carriers of joy, church, we have to choose to value the fruit of the Holy Spirit over worldly emotions. We have to choose to open our hearts to the things of God and shrug off fluid feelings. If we don't take control of our thoughts and cast out fear, worry, or doubt and put it on the shoulders of our Heavenly Father, the circumstances of this world will rule our emotions rather than the steadfast joy of the Holy Spirit.
Isaiah 55 verse 12 says, "For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains before you shall break forth into singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands." I absolutely love this verse because it's the verse God gave us when we first came up north. And it was such a promise of peace and joy. The Lord longs to make us a people that go out in joy. He longs to make us children who are overwhelmed by his love to the degree that the cares of this world pale in comparison to his grace and affections for us. I also love this this quote by Chuck Swindoll, "Dress up your testimony with a genuine spirit of joy. It does the heart good and is truly contagious."
Yeah. Psalm 5:11 says, "Let those who love your name be joyful in you and in high spirits." Choose the joy of the Lord over the stress and cares of this world. We have to choose to go out in joy and be led forth in peace rather than be led by our flesh. We can experience today a lifestyle of carrying the joy of the Lord everywhere we go. And others will come to know the abundant goodness of our Heavenly Father, church, in the way we exude our joy.
I love this quote by Mother Teresa, which says, "Joy is a net of love by which you can catch souls. The best way to show our gratitude to God and people is to accept everything with joy. A joyful heart is the inevitable result of a heart burning with love. Never let anything so fill you with sorrow as to make you forget the joy of Christ risen."
Phenomenal quote. Phenomenal quote. Church, take time to be a carrier of joy by resting in his presence and getting to know his heart. Allow his Spirit to lead you in each moment of your life that you might be filled with joy to overflowing and have the strength to live life to the full. Can I ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes? We're going to finish this up now and ask you to choose joy as we commission you this morning in prayer.
Lord, I just thank you, God, for everyone here. I thank you, God, that we would choose to be in your presence daily, Lord God. I thank you for your word today. I thank you, God, that we would choose joy, and we would not only choose joy, but we would choose deeper joy, Lord God. Lord, I thank you that we would dress our testimony with joy.
Yeah.
And I thank you for the power of that in our lives every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.